Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Might just be a slightly awkward G8 summit there in Northern Ireland today, as world leaders will be mulling over once secret information, now public, that the UK and the US cooperated to snoop in on head of state conversations during the G20 summit in London back in 2009. Some of the leaders targeted back in 2009 are in attendance at the G8 meeting this week. The information is the latest leak from former defense contractor employee Edward Snowden to inform the scale and intensity of U.S. electronic eavesdropping. Scott Shane is national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Scott, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm pretty interested in how they did this in 2009. There are some tantalizing details in the leaks from Snowden. Apparently, UK officials helped set up some sort of internet cafe for the use of some of these world leaders, and then they set it up so well that it was essentially a data feed directly to the NSA and to British authorities.
That's right. The British equivalent of NSA, which is called GCHQ, works extremely closely with NSA, has for many, many years. And apparently they did a sort of, full court press on eavesdropping on the delegations to these international meetings in London in 2009, including setting up fake internet cafes with computers for the use of delegates, which were rigged to, record anything that was typed into the keyboards. And also they hacked into the Blackberries, according to these documents, that the delegates were carrying. They sort of were bragging about that in the documents. And so basically the idea would be that the British and the Americans would learn in advance any negotiating instructions that these foreign representatives had from their governments, and would in some cases perhaps have picked up what the leaders of other countries were saying in phone conversations and emails and so on.
Well, in one of the officials quoted saying it amounted to a kind of real-time feed of what the negotiation traffic was between world leaders, the delegations, even conversations back to world capitals where the consultations were taking place supposedly in private.
That's right. I mean, I have written about NSA for quite a few years. And for anyone who actually pays close attention to an agency like that, it's the largest American intelligence agency. It has tens of thousands of employees. It has stations all over the place. They have a lot of people with headphones on and sitting at computers that are intercepting foreign communications. And in fact, what is described in the Guardian's articles based on the leaks from Edward Snowden, it's actually just standard practice for NSA, GCHQ, and presumably for the equivalent agencies in Russia and China. Anything that they can pick up, they will. When they talk publicly, when they're forced to talk publicly, leaders of agencies like NSA like to talk about terrorism because it has, makes clear their value to the American public. But in fact, they don't just target bad guys. They target all kinds of foreign politicians, economic officials, trade officials, and they try to get an edge in everything from arms negotiations to trade deals.
Now, is that to say that world leaders and members of the G8 and their delegations are not as naive as readers of The Guardian in the sense that they would expect this kind of surveillance to take place in London or now in Northern Ireland, or if the meeting took place in a European capital, they would assume this is going on?
Yeah, I think it's probably fair to say that anybody operating at that level at a summit like this is going to be quite aware that this kind of intercept operations, these intercept operations are going on. partly because they will have been advised, you know, in memos by their own governments that it's going on, and they should be very careful about what they say on the phone, what they put into email. So I don't think that to people operating at the top of a government, this comes as a huge surprise. There was a similar episode on a smaller scale in 2003 when an eavesdropper, actually translator, Chinese translator for GCHQ, the British NSA, was sort of upset about plans to for the Iraq war and went public with a very, very interesting NSA memo in which an NSA official sort of sent out an all-points bulletin asking for a surge of eavesdropping efforts on UN delegations of Security Council members. And this was at a time when President Bush was trying to round up support at the UN for an invasion of Iraq and to put pressure on Iraq. So this was just, this is again what goes on all the time, but this memo, you know, was shocking almost because it was so routine, saying, you know, really focus on Mexico because we really need to know what they're thinking. And it did, you know, it caused a little bit of ruffled feathers here and there, but people know this goes on. The reason NSA folks and government folks, U.S. government folks, are upset about these leaks is that every time the delegations to the G20, say the G8, are reminded that, you know, in a vivid way, like with these Guardian articles, that their communications are being targeted, they're going to tighten up and be much more careful about what they say, maybe take some more precautions in terms of encrypting email and that sort of thing. And it will be tougher to get the information. So the more you alert people to this possibility, even if they know in the back of their mind that the possibility is there, the more careful they are and the less juicy intelligence the U.S. and the Brits will collect.
Well, we have no particular information, but I suspect if there are any U.S. or U.K.-sponsored internet cafes in Northern Ireland this week, they might be conspicuously empty after these reports. Scott, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody's going to go drive a long way from the conference center if they're going to find an internet cafe.
This internet is really great. Must be a direct line to the NSA. Scott Sain, national security correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks for having me.
So freedom. The NSA has the freedom of tapping into virtually any conversation. But what is the meaning of freedom as we approach July 4th? What is the freedom? Can your mind set you free if you're actually behind bars? We'll talk about that with our next guest. But we're asking for your thoughts on freedom. Reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment to thetakeaway.org.